And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
I'm about to go to Taco Bell and get me a bite. Blast.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, February 8th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. And alongside me, as always, that's Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! Over yonder, our two super producers. We got JD and JK. What's up, guys?
Hello.
And last but not least, we flew him in for the trade deadline. We gave him a mic. We gave him a tiny light. He's right there. It's Jerome Chang.
What's up, JC?
Okay. We got a new button to press.
There it is. What's up? Hello, everyone.
What's up, everybody? How's it going?
I'm doing well.
All right.
Yeah. After 2 hours at the rental car place, I'm set now.
Yeah. Finally got those wheels. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Like the vid. Please subscribe. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Tickets still available for our No Dunks live show in Salt Lake City. Jerome will be there Friday, February 17th at 8 p.m. The Urban Lounge. Hit that link in the show notes to get yourself a ticket, and there are some VIP meet and greet packages still available. Hang out with us for an hour before the live show, preferred seating, all that jazz. Okay, I mean, look, we got a full house here in the Classic Factory. We got a bunch of LeBron jerseys on. We'll obviously get into that. We've got Kyrie's first press conference we can talk about. We got the Rising Stars draft. And the teams have been selected.
Wow. We went downhill after the LeBron mention, Kyrie, draft. I mean, let's get to LeBron.
Well, what about the latest NBA trade deadline,
boss? Oh, of course.
Okay, we're back.
All right, we're back.
We'll do it all here on today's show. But yeah, we start with hailing the king. LeBron James became the NBA's all-time leading scorer on a step-back jumper, a little bit of a fadeaway over Kenrich Williams last night, putting his career total at 38,388, breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record, which held for nearly four decades. Everybody stayed up late to watch it here on the East Coast. What was it? Around midnight, I guess, when he officially did it. And he hit the over in terms of the celebration. Four and a half minutes? That was like 10 minutes. Easy. But what'd you think, Tass, of that historic moment?
It was 10 minutes. It passed by pretty quickly, it felt like. It was real fast. Obviously, LeBron, extremely emotional throughout. Felt very great. I just felt grateful. It was very warm. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the most graceful, gracious human being there, passing it over to LeBron. I love it was a passing of the torch, handing him the ball, and LeBron receiving it. I love LeBron shouting out late, great David Stern. He was just appreciative of everybody. Mm-hmm. Kenrich Williams, playing some really good defense. Playing a little too hard, I think. We didn't get the hook.
Do you think LeBron was trying to set up there for the hook?
Yeah, they didn't try too hard.
No.
Because the play before, they went to the post, but Kenrich Williams was pushing him out. Russell Westbrook, very cognizant of who's going to pass LeBron the ball for his last shot. He passed it to him and then cut through. And so Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was like, okay, I'm just going to stick around LeBron. And so LeBron had no choice but to pass it out,
right,
get it back. And then they shot a three-pointer on that possession. Then he said, screw it, I'm coming down the next time. He just got it at the high post for the fade. So they kind of tried, but they didn't really try. They didn't run a play. They didn't run a duck in for him to get the hook shot. They could have tried harder. I didn't really care.
Yeah.
I don't think he really wanted to. I saw the preseason or the pregame hook shot where he was practicing. It ain't Kareem-like. It's not his shot. So
it's nobody's shot, really.
Yeah.
Except Vucevic.
Yeah. If Vuce ever does it, you know he's getting it with a hook.
I was good with the fade.
Yeah, totally. LeBron has had a lot of fadeaways in his career. Yeah. It would be I don't know. That's the thing with LeBron is he doesn't have a signature shot. This is now his signature shot, the fadeaway to break Kareem's record. He was getting teary as soon as it happened, probably because his entire life was flashing before his eyes. You know, he's put 30 years of his life into breaking specifically this record, and he actually did it. Mm-hmm. His kids are there. The guy who held the record for almost 40 years is there. That was an incredible moment. That was very special. To me, the only thing that even reminds me of that that we've really seen was Kobe's last game when he went for 60, and it was just like a coronation of a career. That's what it was for LeBron. It was awesome that everybody on the broadcast, everybody around, was doing a good job of like keeping Kareem's legacy kind of first and foremost as well, to kind of show the younger generations what kind of a player he was and how important he was to the game. But that was just an all-time great NBA moment, so worth staying up for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It made, like, it and the crowd was so into it, like right from the jump. Anytime he touched the ball, everybody's like, yeah, shoot it. Anytime Westbrook took a shot and didn't pass it to him, I was like, oh, what are you doing? We had the whole, like, there's this weird clips going around of like AD, who was brutal in this game, by the way, mentally checked out. You know, a lot of body language doctors reading into whatever the hell's going on there. But yeah, the actual shot and then the celebration. Also, a quick note to all the lame-ass people on Twitter saying, why'd they stop the game? I can't believe they stopped the game. What are you kidding me?
Did people really say that?
Oh my God, multiple people to the point where I was like, is this an entire bit I'm not in on? Like, it's one thing you see one dumbass say it, but there were like pretty well-respected people and journalists even saying it. I couldn't believe it. Like, of all the moments to stop a game and celebrate something, I think the one where the guy passes the guy for the most points scored ever in the regular season, passing Kareem, another Lakers legend, in LA, in a meaningless, really, game between two teams at the bottom of the Western Conference, I think it's okay to stop the game for 10 minutes and celebrate and congratulate the guy.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
I didn't see any, thankfully.
Oh, Jesus. I saw way too many.
But that's NBA Twitter exists, you know, in part because of LeBron. I mean, it was kind of cool that we have seen every single one of this guy's points. Mm-hmm. Just from a, you know, a selfish perspective, we've seen from the beginning to the end of his career. And
end of his career?
End of his career.
He's probably
going to
have 10,000 points in him. Yeah. Not that many, but
I wouldn't. When we do some math.
I mean, 5,000 feels very attainable.
Seems ambitious, but I don't know. He got 36 and three quarters. That was the other thing. Three quarters he did this in.
Yeah. And he didn't try. Yeah. He started the game passing. He could have easily started shooting, as he said after the game.
He started shooting. He was completely out of rhythm shooting early in the game. He shot the ball every time down the court, couldn't score, and then he started passing the ball, got into the rhythm of the game, and then he started getting and one after and one after and one.
Wow, but he could have came right out from the get-go, like within a minute. He had the breakaway layup. He passed it for some odd reason. It ended up being a turnover. He could have shot from the get-go. He didn't. He was 13 of 20 at the end of the day. Like, that was, it was an efficient game.
I mean, he shot right away. He definitely did. But it doesn't matter because he eventually got there. And it was fun to watch when he did. I thought it was the moment with his sons when he was like, coming at halftime, they're like, you only need 16 more. He's like, 8 this quarter, 8 the next. You want me to go get it? Sure, I'll go get it. And I just did 16 in the third quarter anyways. That was incredible, man. Props to him for wearing the mic. I'm sure we'll get an entire 2-hour documentary just on this night at some point. Should be special.
On yesterday's show, we were obviously debating, like, would he do it last night? Would it happen on Thursday? We were saying, maybe it's more likely it happens on Thursday and stuff like that. And then you saw him show up to the arena in the black suit, coming in all business, finding out, of course, his entire family is going to be there, all his friends. It's like, oh, no, it's happening on Tuesday night. Then it was a lock. It was like, oh, he has decided it's going to happen tonight. So 36 for sure is going to be happening in this game. And of course, he did there in three quarters.
I like the look. Look pretty slick coming in.
You like the pin? Little brooch? Stay present.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I didn't know it was stay present until he zoomed in. You really have to zoom in.
Well, he had the Beats by Dre headphones with the obviously total amount of points on it. He was locked in, ready to go.
Yeah, he also
locked
said,
into those pants.
Yeah.
A little too tight, buddy. I mean, come on. Ridiculous tailoring on that suit, but he looked great. And then he threw the headband on, said it was a vintage night. That's when I knew it was over. I was like, who knows? LeBron dresses well for a lot of games, but he was coming in serious. And then once he had the headband, I was like, he wants his first career basket and his crowning career basket to look the exact same.
Right.
And you could tell he was emotionally exhausted after that, because he was just done. I mean, he went to the bench. The Lakers made the run to tie the game. It looked like they could come back and win this thing. He came back on the floor, and the Lakers stunk in their rotations. He was gassed. He hit that. He was real short on his three-point attempt from the corner there.
And they turned it over after over.
And you know, he could have just crawled in and got an offensive rebound on that three-point shot that he missed. It bounced, but he was gassed. And this was all about him getting to the points. He got there, and he got to save on some hotel money as well, because he said he flew in his boys, the old boys from Akron, his high school teammates. And the family that took him in as kids, they were all there. And he said, you know, I wanted to get it done because they would have had to stick around for a couple more nights if I didn't get it done. He put them up in the hotels, obviously. And so they're leaving today as opposed to having a couple extra nights. Always cost conscious. Very smart. Very smart on his part.
No active player is within 10,000 points of LeBron. And the two closest are Kevin Durant and Carmelo Anthony, who are in a similar age group to LeBron, obviously. And, you know, Melo's not even in the league right now. Who knows if he's, like, actually retired. But, like, this one's going to stand for a while here. And he's not done. That is the crazy part. It's like, you know, he says he wants to play with his sons. So he's going to score another 5,000 points just sticking around for a couple of years here. So 40K, we know we'll hit that milestone at some point, and then we'll see where he ends up. But what a game. That was fun to stay up and watch that
totally.
One, no
that
doubt. And then, like, just, like, the millions of celebrities in attendance. And, I mean, yeah, it was just great. I thought it went well. I thought, like, Silver and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out there was sort of, like, you know, short and sweet, but perfect for the photo ops and all that. LeBron getting a chance to thank everyone. I guess he thanked the fans first.
Fans first.
The prop bet, right? It was God was the favorite. Teammates were, I believe, the second one on the board there. But hit the field, you said, plus 1,400. If you had anyone
faithful.
Else, really, because I guess he said Lakers faithful, yeah. Thanking the fans there. But, yeah. Anything else from this? And he also dropped the F-bomb at the end. I don't know if you could bet on that. But
that was great. That was the best part of the speech, I think. A lot of great parts of it. But he was just emotionally overwhelmed. And, yeah, like everybody else, just what else is there to say but F?
F man, thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
That's gotta be
turn
your
up,
sign
love
off.
You guys, awesome. Yeah. It's kind of similar. He's just like, I don't know what the. How do you end this speech to go play the last 10 seconds of the third quarter? You know. But yeah, I mean, all the video tributes were great. I loved Shaq talking to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They call it Inside the NBA? I think on Tuesday nights. That was really cool to hear them, like, Kareem making a point to be like, we got no beef, man. We're both awesome big men. It just hasn't gone said to each other for 30 years. So I thought that was great. Kind of the only person taking an L last night, I would say, is Drake.
Yeah, that was brutal.
They showed it twice, and it was a bomb both times.
Yeah, it was
not a time for a comedy.
I know. It was like a why. You so corny. I mean, I know that's your lane, but it was just congratulate him, man.
Say congrats.
Like this green screen bit that he's back in Akron at the gym, and oh, it drops. Oh, I'm having a blast here with all the girls and shooting music videos. So just, ugh. Yeah, they did
that
show
was
it
weird.
Twice. That was a big L there for Drake. We got our Nike commercial too. Thoughts on that?
We are witnesses. I was happy to see him brought. That was brought back. I mean, that was obviously a huge marketing campaign back in the day, and I thought a cool way to play it. I do like how basically Nike's decided we're ignoring LeBron's actual first basket, the jumper over Brad Miller, and making his first basket ever the tomahawk dunk on the fast break, because then we can loop in all of the different eras of LeBron doing the same dunk. That's storytelling at its finest right there. So I was hyped to see the commercial come on, and it lived up to it.
Yeah, totally. We don't need to see that jumper ever again, really. I mean, you know what I mean?
Like, what's wrong with the jumper? A little baseline jumper. Brad Miller in the picture.
Absolutely.
From Brad Miller to Kenrich Williams. That's perfect.
Yeah. When people were asking him what he would do, how he would get it done, it was either a skyhook or the tomahawk dunk. It wasn't a mid-range jumper. That's what he's known for. And then, the fade was pretty. It was a pretty release. The photos were cool. The only guy didn't have his camera out was Phil Knight sitting cool right there in the front row. Everybody else had their camera out.
It's like, I'll see it later. Someone will send it to me. just airdrop it to me. Saw people joking that it should be just like three or four people that are designated phone photographers, and then just airdrop it to the rest of everybody.
Off of the group chat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like his son Bryce was filming it from the opposite end of the floor. That's not a good angle.
Oh, could look cool.
I don't know. It was far.
They had a clip of LeBron and Bronny watching the clip that Bronny took on his phone. He's like, oh, that's hard. That's hard.
Yeah, so there you go. Love
it. That was a cool moment too, man.
There were a lot of them. Yeah. Even Shaq asking LeBron, so are you the GOAT now after the game? And, you know, LeBron just, he just said, I'll take myself against anybody, essentially, in the end. But, yeah, it was all on the table last night. Love the fact that he was mic'd up and got it done pretty easily, it felt like. Like an easy 38.
Yeah, but in the end, they lose the game.
Yeah.
Anyone care at all? Or, I mean, no. Like you said, they tied it up, and then the Thunder, I think, just ripped off like a 10-0 run and sort of then kept the separation, and SGA was great. They were playing hard. I mean, it looked like they had... At times in this game, outside of LeBron, it looked like the Thunder had like three or four of the best players in the game with Giddey and SGA and Jalen Williams. J-Dub was amazing. Any thoughts on the actual basketball game between these two teams that are trying to get into obviously a play-in spot?
I mean, a tough spot for the Lakers to be in, honestly, like to have the game stop and then have an entire ceremony for LeBron and then we got to figure out how to win this fourth quarter. Like, people are calling it a meaningless game. The Lakers really needed that win, and it could come back to bite them if it's between them and the Thunder getting into the last play-in spot. But I think LeBron's team has lost, like, every time he's had a milestone. So not totally surprising. It just takes the wind out of the game because the moment is so much bigger than actually figuring things out. So kudos to the Thunder for actually hitting back, because once the Lakers went on that little run with their bench... It felt like, all right, Rui Hachimura is doing this for LeBron. Yeah, he's going to get him the dub here. But too much turnovers for LA.
Yeah. It felt like the Thunder had the three or four best players or three or the four better players out there, because they do. I mean, it was clear.
Well, especially when AD was playing the way he was.
Yeah.
And you know, good Russ, bad Russ at times in this game. But yeah.
And young versus old. They had the legs in the fourth quarter there. It did kind of stink. I don't know if it was a bit of a schedule loss. I don't want to make excuses for the Lakers, but the first game home after the trip ain't easy.
Thunder on a back-to-back, weren't they?
Well, it doesn't matter.
They're so young.
The first game home, the oldies, they're slow out there. It happens every time.
Did either of you want to read into what was going on with either Russ or AD last night, or is it a bunch of nothing and just... Twitter finding whatever they want and finding the clip of frustrated looking guys or checked out guys or whatever. I mean, in our group WhatsApp chat, we were talking about how AD was brutal.
Oh, he was bad.
He was bad.
I mean, he was probably the Lakers' worst player last night. And seeing the bench clips kind of puts into different perspective. Like, they're showing the mic'd up LeBron clip and there's, you know, he's just like dapping everybody up. My dog, thank you so much. Thank you so much. He gets to AD. He's like, I love you, man. He's like, yeah, I know. I just love you, man. I just need to let you know. So, who knows? Who knows what's going on?
Yeah.
But he wasn't playing last night. That's for sure.
That's it. I got nothing. Don't look at me. I got nothing. There's nothing more to read into that. Right. You want something?
No,
get it.
I don't think AD's being traded.
No, right. Like, okay. Is Russ obviously?
I don't think
AD
would be sad about that. And maybe that was the thing. Maybe they were sad that they're not getting Kyrie, and that's a little bit of a hangover for AD. Maybe he had tummy troubles. Who knows? Maybe he was like, I'm fighting through it to be out here, just like Draymond Green did when Steph Curry was breaking the record, or was it when Curry came back? Whatever it was, Draymond played like 1 minute, right? Because he wanted to be on the court when Curry was there. Maybe that was the same thing AD was doing, was just trying to be on the court, but zero impact. And, like, obviously the Lakers need both of them to be good, to be a good team.
Yeah, well, you brought up Kyrie. Let's pivot to that. The Mavericks introduce Kyrie Irving yesterday, and probably unsurprisingly, the controversial point guard had things to say. The biggest one, I guess, is he said he felt disrespected at times by Nets leadership. That's the one that's obviously making the headlines, Tass.
Yeah, baby.
What do you think?
Let's talk about Kyrie. It's hard to dissect everything that Kyrie says, so I don't think you guys can. It's sort of a useless exercise, I think. The most important thing, he was disrespected. Also, he said, I wish I did more research into the Nets' front office before I went there. Painting a picture of Sean Marks, you know, potentially Joe Tsai, as people who lied to him, didn't follow through. Mm-hmm. And he said the details will come out at a later date. He also said that. Does that mean they will? Not necessarily. But yeah, just other than that, a lot of contradictory statements. Mm-hmm. I stand by my post, but I deleted it because he deleted his apology. And there we are. I don't really want to do any more than that. Let's just watch him play basketball.
He did say, quote, I delete things all the time, and it's no disrespect to anyone within the community, just living my life, end quote. Any thoughts on Kyrie's press conference?
I mean, not really. I don't know. It's like, do you want to try and parse his words? I'm kind of with Tass. Like, who cares? Who knows exactly what he's talking about? But all of the wounds that he would be suffering from the Nets to feel disrespected are all basically self-inflicted.
Right.
So maybe the details will come out, but I think best for everyone involved to just turn the page. And, like, Kyrie should completely try and wash his hands of his time with the Nets, and I wouldn't be... I mean, he's answering questions, but I wouldn't be talking about it. Like, I don't know. Just, I don't know. Disrespected why? Because they didn't give him a max contract because he's played half the games since he signed there? Who knows?
I think it's two things, if I'm guessing, that why he thinks he was disrespected. One, contract related. He wants, you know, obviously the big deal. And then two, I'm doubling down on this, and I think it will come out eventually. And why we got the trade request when we got it was he feels disrespected that he cannot have any opinions of his own and share them that without upsetting people there, obviously, in the Nets front office. I'm talking about recent Instagram stories where he's sharing things from men's right activist Jordan Peterson and vocal anti-vaxxer John Stockton and Whitlock and all that. He was sharing that. And then soon after that, we get the trade request because I think they're connected and I think he was told, not fucking again, man. What are you doing? And he's like, what? I'm over this. And I think that's going to come to light. I do believe that. But also probably contract related too. Anyway, he's with the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And we'll see him play basketball.
Tonight. Clippers.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, saw those clips in practice. He looked pretty good.
Did he? Was he practicing a hook shot?
Kyrie?
Yeah.
No.
just be wild if everybody just started practicing hook shots in practice. Hooks. All right, we had some minor trades yesterday. So minor that we just put them on one board. Yeah. The Heat traded Dwayne Dedmon to the Spurs. Whoa. Oh, Jesus.
Somebody just wrote it up.
It's just a generic. Here it is. The Heat
just font.
Yeah. Heat traded Dwayne Dedmon to the Spurs and the Nets. They're not done trading. They traded Kessler Edwards to the Kings. Now, yes, things came back, but honestly, there's really nothing of note here. The Spurs got a second round pick for taking Dedmon, who they're probably going to waive.
I like the choice, Jerome, of the graph paper and just the writing it out because...
Straight to the point.
Yeah.
Yes. And also because it's the first one's a financial move. It feels right on a piece of graph paper, just scribbled out in a way, because basically it's just to get off more money from Dwayne Dedmon's salary. They're further under the tax line. I think we can start guessing at what the Heat are going to do, and that's potentially trade Kyle Lowry, as people have been talking about. This is a money-saving move, and they could save further money by trading Lowry for what would have to be a star because Lowry makes so much money.
Right.
So that bit is interesting, and the other part I think is interesting too. The Kings are making a depth move, the Sacramento Kings, just to have a guy deeper on their roster that could help out at some point, a young guy. So that's somewhat interesting.
Yeah,
the Kings are kind of... Yeah, they're fortifying their depth, which is a good sign for the Kings, I would say.
Yeah, I think it was John Hollinger said the Kings had been rumored to be interested in Philly's Matisse Thybulle, and that you could look at Edwards as like a discount version of sort of a Thybulle type guy. You know, a decent defender. He's got that 3-and-D skill set. You know, shot really good from three in the G League, 35% last year, Kessler Edwards did. So it's good size. That's maybe the thinking.
Why wasn't he playing for the Nets then?
Great point.
He's not good.
He's not very good.
Yeah, no. He's not good. He's not going to play for the Kings. And I would imagine that this doesn't take him out of the Matisse Thybulle sweepstakes either. My main take on Kessler Edwards is that we talk about two first name players a lot, two last names.
Hmm.
Kessler and Edwards.
So who are some other
Kessler
guys on that list? I'm putting you on the spot here, but
Walker Kessler.
Walker Kessler. That's a perfect one. Walker Kessler Edwards. Anthony Edwards.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Jordan Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson? That's sure, not bad.
Sure.
Yeah, but Jordan's a first name, too.
Yeah. That's a double up.
You got the MJ.
Same with Anthony.
Right.
Jordan
same with
basketball
Anthony.
Is.
Yeah. Wait, who's a Jordan in basketball?
DeAndre.
That's why you're here. Yeah, any other thoughts on these little minor deals here?
It was the Theragun. It was the Theragun that did it for Dwayne Dedmon. He played one game after that.
Yeah.
After the Theragun incident got suspended, the Heat said, "You're done playing for us." They threw him out one game to make sure his body still works so they could ship him to another team.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what happened. So shout out to the Theragun.
Yeah.
He opened up jersey number 21 for the Miami Heat.
Oh, who's coming back? Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they'll get him, but it'll be Embiid's number eventually.
Oh, wow. Okay. Jeez.
Called shot right there.
Okay.
We'll see. Future Heat.
Future Heat. They got to just keep that 21 open.
Yeah, exactly. Just wait on it. Wait on it. Him and Jimmy Butler. Best buds.
All right. Well, so, yeah.
Will they make a move? That's the question. The guy did play for them for the whole season, basically, until the Theragun incident.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cost saver. Come on, Pat.
It's a cost saver. And it also does open up another roster spot, too. So Lowry going out, in theory, multiple players coming out. Is it the Clippers? Is it another team? Who knows? We'll see. I guess we got to keep our eye on Twitter. Jerome, you got Twitter humming along right now? Shams, Woj, notifications. Trade could happen at any time.
We are refreshing.
Okay.
Nothing is happening.
Nothing's happening?
Nothing's happening at the moment.
All right. Everybody keep refreshing.
If there's anything to be mad about on Twitter, it's not that LeBron James is being honored. It's the refresh problems, the feed problems, the different feeds. I can formulate, curate my own feed. You don't need to tell me. suggest to me what I want.
How are
see.
Your promoted ads coming
through? Their promotions are hot.
Yeah?
many promotions. ads everywhere.
What are you getting a lot of? Anything specific?
The Athletic, which is a great website.
Yeah, yeah. Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball wants you to read that one?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of jerseys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the jerseys one.
Nike jerseys.
I'm getting a lot of, hey, man, get your Atlanta Dream tickets.
It is this lit.
It's very lit. I see it every 5 tweets, I'm told, how lit it is. So I might do it. It might work.
Yeah, it gets me for sure.
All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, we will dip into some trade rumors. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory. Shout out to everybody joining us live. Take a second, hit that like button, that little thumbs up, and just make sure you subscribed to No Dunks on YouTube, especially this week with trade deadline, because you know we'll be doing some emergency podcasts if it calls for it. Dwayne Dedmon to the Spurs does not call for it.
No.
Kessler Edwards to the Kings does not call for it.
Spurs.
Even we have our limits.
Yeah.
The truth
Spurs have made two moves. No emergency podcast. They brought in Noah Vonleh, if you remember.
Yeah.
Dwayne Dedmon. Yeah. Just money moves.
Yeah, money moves. But let's get into some of the juiciest trade rumors. And the first one is the Nets reportedly pushing back on some of the rumors out there that they are not planning to deal Kevin Durant. Are you surprised at all by this report here, Tess Mellis?
I'm not surprised that the Nets want to say, hey, we're keeping Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant behind the scenes, who knows what's happening? Mm-hmm. He has not been vocal with the media at all since Kyrie Irving has been traded, has not addressed the media whatsoever. Which
he hasn't had to, right, either. I mean, in the sense that he's been injured.
Yes. So. Yeah, but he could have if he wanted to. I mean, he was in the building both Monday night. He was in the building Monday night. He left, did not address the media. He left before the game was over, and a lot of the media was saying it was un-KD-like, the way he just walked out, didn't address anyone, didn't talk to anyone. Not with the team yesterday, for yesterday's game, which was a little surprising. Is it an Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook sort of situation, as we talked about earlier? Do you need to read into that part? Will he request a trade at some point? It's unlikely he's going to be dealt in the next day. Mm-hmm. But the offseason is a different story, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah, I think there was a report about KD that just said he was upset by Kyrie Irving's trade request.
Right, right.
Does that mean he was upset that Kyrie made the trade request or that the Nets followed through on it? Who knows? But, I mean, this is the right stance for the Nets to take. Like Tass is saying, at the very least posturing, like, we're still going to try and win this year. We've got some more moves to be made. So, obviously, we want to keep Kevin Durant around. It's also a way to say, like, wow me right now. If somebody comes through with an incredible can't turn it down offer, maybe then they're like, okay, we got to make the move right now. But it seems more likely that a trade would come in the summer when there's more picks on the table, a little more time to negotiate, and, you know, other teams may get desperate after the way their season ends going forward. Mm-hmm. So the question for the Nets will be is like, are they going to make another move? Because they've got the makings of a challenging team, at least, but there's so much duplication that they got to kind of consolidate and maybe get some more helpful players. Call up those Hornets, PJ, Plumlee, Gordon, come to Brooklyn.
Hey, KD, you want to win? You got PJ.
You got PJ.
We PJ, got you a plum
KD,
dog.
And Cam.
That plum dog's got that dog in him. Go win it.
Yeah. We also got a bit of an update, right, with Kevin Durant and his injury. Is this guy playing in the All-Star game?
According to Chris Haynes.
I don't think so.
According to Chris Haynes, he is not.
Right. So who gets the spot? Who gets the call-up? Injury replacement. Silver, where are you going? Where's he going to go with this one?
You go with
Jim
us.
Butler?
Second Heat, second Nick.
Butler, Brunson.
Again, Silver
Siakam,
over
Trae Young
previous.
Squeeze in.
Previously, when Silver does this, he sort of just goes by the vote. Like, whoever's next in terms of, like, that weighted vote of the position of the conference of the player that they're replacing. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't remember off the top of my head who that would have been.
Fourth?
Yeah.
Or fifth, I guess.
Well, even further, right? Because Bede's there, yeah, Randall's there. It's then who's, like, at the bottom. So it's, I guess what I'm getting at, probably a forward from the Eastern Conference. So is it Siakam? Is it Jimmy, I guess, is designated as a forward there?
I think so.
Yeah. But, yeah, could you make a case for a Brunson? Absolutely. Especially after he was hitting clutch buckets once again for the Knicks last night. We'll see, but no KD.
According to reports, Chris Haynes said that yesterday. I know there was a lot of things flying around last night, you know, the guy taking over for all-time scoring lead. So I think that kind of flew under the radar that Kevin Durant wouldn't be there. But I'm looking at the list. This is the weighted list. Giannis, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid. Then it's Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
So
okay.
I would assume it'd be Jimmy if we go by that.
Well, we'll find out who Silver adds as an injury replacement if KD is not playing in that game. Okay. Let's get to another rumor here with some actual legs to it. Clippers looking to add a veteran guard. Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports says the Clips want a vet at that point guard position, showing interest in Fred VanVleet, Kyle Lowry, Terry Rozier, D'Angelo Russell. TK, are the Clips going to get this done here in the next couple days and get themselves a vet guard here at the point guard position?
Oh, they're going to get them a vet guard. Yeah. I do believe there's, you know, they were in the Kyrie Irving sweepstakes a little bit. There has been buzz basically for a month that they're looking at the same three guards, but now we're throwing in a Terry Rozier and an Eric Gordon as well. I don't necessarily know that the guards they're going to bring in fix what I would want. I think they need somebody who drives the ball and gets into the lane a little bit more than a facilitator or a shooter, which most of these candidates are, which is why they wanted John Wall in the first place, right? Like, John Wall is a downhill playing kind of guy, an attacker. It didn't work out, unfortunately, for John Wall in L.A., but there's not really anybody on the market that really fits the bill for a driving point guard. An organizer, I think, will help. Getting somebody else who just gets everybody on the same page and gets the right shots, more so than a Reggie Jackson does. But it's really going to be on Kawhi and Paul George to be in the lane for the entirety of a playoff run.
Yeah, it feels like the Clippers will go for it as a team that always makes a move. So who are the names you threw out there? You got in the Conley. I actually didn't say Conley, sorry.
Jake Fisher, but yeah, throw him in the mix. Van Vliet, Lowry, Rozier, and D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, and I think you do have to throw Conley in there. Trey's totally right. Somebody drives. Somebody gets the lane. I know Conley isn't the prototypical guy you think about that, but he's doing it to some degree. But it could be a guy that, yeah, we haven't even mentioned. It doesn't necessarily have to be a point guard in the truest sense. Like, it could be a guy who just drives a good amount. I mean, Josh Hart sounds a little dumb, but Emmanuel Quickley is still, you know, in rumors out there, but the Knicks seem to love the guy. Mm-hmm. Why would you trade him? He's starting to be a two-way player, but he would obviously make a ton of sense if you want to overpay for him. The Raps got to make a move. The Freddie smoke is too hot right now, I think.
Freddie smoke is hot, as is the OG Anunoby smoke, because Fisher also saying that the Raptors continue to receive substantial interest for OG. And then he listed like a third of the league. Is in theory calling Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster and the Raps about OG. The Pelicans, the Grizzlies, the Knicks, the Pacers, the Blazers, the Lakers, the Suns, the Nets.
He ain't talking to the Nets. F Brooklyn is what Masai says.
Okay.
He hangs up, as he's famously said. But who's getting more calls? Is it the Nets front office for Kevin Durant or the Raps front office for OG Anunoby? I think people are still calling for Durant. They may have. I guess there'll be less calls because he would warrant more in a trade.
Yes, I think, but they might go hand in hand in the sense we're hearing some rumors that because of this Durant situation with Kyrie demanding a trade request, them making that move, and where does that put KD and his opinions about the franchise moving forward? Because of that, teams who are maybe like, okay, we'll give up a pick or two for an OG or a pick for a Van Vliet or a pick for whatever player you want to say, they're maybe now like, hold on, should we keep the war chest of picks if Durant in the summer, let's say, says I want out of here, I want to try and win a chip or whatever, and so you don't want to, like, you know, get rid of, like, if you're the Suns or something like that or whatever, one of these teams like that, so they could go hand in hand here, and KD's got everyone now in a bit of a waiting game.
Agreed. Teams think that they can get KD in the offseason.
Right. Like, if you think, like, if OG could help you, but it's going to take two picks, but then you're like, ooh, we could maybe get KD in the summer, and that takes it to a whole other level, then should we just hold on to that? I think that's a fascinating sort of little wrinkle here to this deadline.
Yeah, if you are a team that has convinced yourself, we're willing to trade three first-round picks, you're going to hang on to it for Kevin Durant rather than for OG Anunoby, which then maybe makes Masai Ujiri's job a little bit harder because everybody, if the price has gone down, more attainable for everybody, right? If it's only going to be a pick and a player or two picks, everybody can kind of get involved. So I think the Raptors should be and probably will still be sellers, especially if you read the latest Eric Kareen joint on The Athletic. Subscribe at theathletic.com/nodunks. Even Eric Kareen's like, the time is now. We got to start taking these calls and listening because there ain't a lot of sellers right now. Quite likely that some of the bigger name or bigger teams will wait to try and make a run at Kevin Durant. Like, you've heard the Heat will want to try for it at some point. Maybe the Raptors try come summertime. It would help to have even more picks to throw into a Durant trade as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Raps still do trade OG.
Yeah. How are you holding up as a Raps fan here? Do you want to just, like, rip the Band-Aid off at this point? And, like, either an OG, a Van Vliet, a Gary Trent Jr. to a lesser extent because he's obviously not there as a part of the championship teams, but, like, trade one of these guys so we can be sad boys for 24 hours and be like, oh man, and then go on with this team. Like,
oh, right?
Because that's what's going to happen with an OG or Van Vliet being traded. Like, those are, like, you know, those are, I mean, they're still beloved players by a lot of Raptors fans, but it feels like one of them is going to be moved here by Thursday at 3 p.m.
Trust in Masai. I would say it all depends on the package that comes back. Because you could be sad/excited.
Yeah.
Depending on the package that comes back. Because there could be a bad deal. But, of course, he's right here. OG's right here. Fred's right here to some degree, you know.
Gary, get him out of here. Doesn't hit the same.
It's a ship. Yeah. There's ships
exactly
involved.
Right, yeah.
There's one ship. There's the one and the old Larry O'Brien trophy on the back of this Cavs jersey. I mean, that means everything. It's cool. It's cool to put on a jersey with the gold little patch on the back.
Hey, I forgot to even address that both of you are wearing LeBron jerseys. So I didn't get the memo here this morning. I incredibly have a LeBron jersey, too. Could have thrown it on. But nope.
This was the moment.
Did you think you were going to be the only one?
And then when you walked in and saw him wearing
it? I was like, I wonder if Tass will wear his. No way.
Any other rumors that you guys want to address? Anybody in the stream team want to address?
I do have something over here.
Oh, God!
You got a trade?
It's not a trade. It's a small rumor. But per Mike Singer of the Denver Post, just about an hour ago, reports that the Raptors, Pelicans, and Timberwolves are showing some level of interest in Bones Highland.
Some level of interest.
It's not substantial like it is for OG,
right.
But it's some level of interest.
Okay. You said the Raps?
Pelicans, and Timberwolves.
Okay.
Now, Raps, Pelicans.
Well, you were high on the Wolves making a potential move for him on yesterday, right?
Yeah, totally. Raps, Pelicans, and Wolves looking at the Bones. I guess they see Bones as a cheaper Gary Trent sort of player.
Okay.
He's young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A young swinger.
No, that was Mike Singer. Not swinger. All right.
Yep.
I mean, it felt like, look, Bones is like, Nuggets basically almost said, like, we're trying to trade him. So we want to, like, shore up our bench. He's a little erratic. Obviously, he's a young talent. And then people are like, really? You're going to move off him? All that. But, you know, he wasn't playing a lot there suddenly. Feels like he's, sure, why wouldn't you show some interest in getting a really young, talented player?
I saw old Nuggets coach George Karl criticizing Bones Highland's shot selection. And
takes some wild ones.
He takes some wild ones. He goes for it. Mm-hmm. They need depth. And their bench is lacking. So if Bones Highland can somehow, some way, with a draft pick attached, get two players, I think they need a 2-for-1 is what I'm getting at. To get somebody to help out, big, small. The rap situation is interesting. Like Thaddeus Young is who I was thinking of. Like they would love to get off Thaddeus Young. He would work off the Nuggets bench, in some way.
Let's get to the Rising Stars draft results. That was also happening yesterday. Yeah, Deron Williams, Joakim Noah, Pau Gasol. They drafted their teams yesterday for the Jordan Rising Stars game. Each legend selected 7 players from the pool of 21 NBA rookies and sophomores. Jason Terry, he's going to lead the 7 NBA G League players, also here on this list. We're looking at the Rising Stars rosters right now on YouTube. I'm not going to read all the names for the podcast listeners, but round one went Paolo to Gasol, Franz Wagner, back-to-back magic players going 1-2 to Deron Williams' team, and then Evan Mobley was the final pick of the first round to Joakim Noah.
Joakim Noah picked a guy from the Cavs. He loves Cleveland.
Oh, yes. So I guess my question off of this, Trey, who drafted the best team when you look at it on paper?
Oh, wow, that's a tough call, man.
Yeah.
I got 3 categories. I think Joakim Noah picked the funniest team. It's all big men who play defense. He's like, give me the Joakim Noahs.
Right.
I think the most complete team is Deron Williams. Like, if you were going into an actual NBA basketball season, you would want to have Deron Williams teams because there's a nice combination of guards, wings, and big men.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the Rising Stars game, Pau Gasol has the best team, highlight-wise, and just scoring and chucking threes. So I think they're going to win the tournament. But if I was trying to win 27 games in an NBA season, I'm going with Deron Williams' team.
I love how they all jumped online, jumped on the Zoom, clicked that link, made sure their volume was up, the cameras were working, and it was all working really well. They got it done with Jaren Greenberg, Pau. Yeah, I think he's just stacked at the top.
He's got a good team.
This year's Rookie of the Year, and Paolo Banchero, and Scotty from last year.
Yep.
He's got star power. Deron's is stacked. I do agree. But I wonder if there's enough passing. Jalen Green is their lead guard. Bones Highland, as we just talked about. That's what I'm worried about. You know, is that stack team going to touch the ball when we get down to it? So I'm going with Big Pau.
Yeah, I think I am as well. I like that team the most. Yep. I think they're going to win this weird tournament.
There's a G League team
half
there.
The people forget. Yeah, that's right. And I think Joakim Noah said, hey, let's not forget about that G League team.
Can't overlook them.
No, they're scrappy. They're going to want this. Do you have a Rising Stars MVP early pick? Who do you think could go out?
Scott.
Because that's what happens in these games. It's like at least there's usually like one star, one or two stars separate themselves from the pack, either gunning for it or just because of they're on another level. You think it's who?
Scotty Barnes.
Okay.
Go lead it. I think he'll feel comfortable. Something happened this year, obviously, in year two here where he didn't feel... It hasn't been his old confident Scotty self, but in year two of that game, I think he's going to run the show.
Okay. Trey, who are you picking? Give me a Rising Stars MVP pick.
Keegan,
I want to make some money.
Murray.
Oh, yeah. Guy's on fire right now.
Exactly right. Three or more three-pointers 11 times since the start of the year. Just had a 30-point game as career high. He's also on Powell's team. We're all picking him to win the tournament here, so give me Keegan Murray, MVP.
Didn't know we were picking MVPs today.
Well, yeah, why not? I like that. Keegan Murray should be in the three-point contest, too.
Yeah.
The way he's stroking it right now. Quick trivia question. Who won MVP of the 2022 Rising Stars
I looked it up.
Challenge? Oh, okay.
No, I didn't look it up.
Okay. Any idea?
No.
Think of the top of the top when it comes to picks.
Was it Anthony Edwards or?
No, but.
LaMelo Ball?
No.
Isn't it?
No.
Last year's Scotty was
not Scotty. Not Scotty, but you got
the
right draft.
Pick, yeah.
Who's the number one?
He's not playing in this year's
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
Oh, that's unfortunate. He should go play and he should go win it. Number one pick.
Got it?
Yep.
Who?
He should go win it.
Who
Why doesn't
it?
He play?
You haven't said the name yet.
Who? I named them all.
No, you haven't. You haven't named the number one draft pick.
No, not last year's number one draft pick.
LeBron James.
Nope. Same.
Andrew Wiggins.
Can't tell if you're doing a bit, though.
Of course I'm doing a bit.
Okay. Cade Cunningham.
Yeah.
What I really wanted to ask you was, this one is the Jordan Rising Stars. Who branded last year's Rising Stars? Right off the end of the pandemic. Got to keep clean.
Johnson &
Johnson. Get that surface. Get that surface.
Microsoft.
No. The sanitizing company.
Oh, yeah.
Purell.
No. No.
Clorox.
Clorox. There you go.
I knew it.
It was the Clorox Bleach Rising Boys. Stars game.
Bleach Boys.
All right, let's hear from you guys. Who drafted the best team? Who's winning Rising Stars MVP? And why? Oh, I guess while we're talking about All-Star Weekend, we did get some other news yesterday that Shaedon Sharpe is no longer in the dunk contest. That sucks.
That sucks.
That's a big bummer.
That was the person people were most excited for.
Yeah. Jericho Sims will be replacing him. Big Knicks center who has an insane vertical to him. Like, he registered like the second highest or third highest vertical in the combine ever. You know, he can get his head up there and maybe he can head the ball in or something somehow. I mean, I don't know. He could do the cupcake dunk, I guess, but he could eat the cupcake.
Didn't Simons do a kiss the rim dunk?
Did he? I don't remember. Somebody did.
Exactly.
Somebody did. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Simons. I think that was his winning dunk, maybe. But also, Obi Toppin won it last year. Also forgettable.
Back-to-back Knicks.
So it could be back-to-back Knicks.
Wow.
But yeah.
Yeah. Any thoughts?
I was a little disappointed, especially because I wasn't excited about a big going in it. But after you check the tapes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, guy can
you're going to go kiss the rim? I think it's a possibility.
Make out with the rim. That guy's vertical, yeah.
Yeah, he has to avert his lips so he doesn't hit the rim with his mouth. Yeah, the guy's got ups. So we got a triple M Sims. We got Troy Murphy.
Troy Murphy. God,
Murphy?
It feels
Trey
like we
Murphy
have Troy Murphy in the dunk contest.
Trey Murphy the third, Kenyon Martin Jr., Mac McClung of the G League, and Jericho Sims.
Jericho Mims for the weekend. Jericho Mims if he wins it.
Wow. Let's hope two guys bring it on dunk night there.
Let's hope one guy brings it, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, this is great. Expectations are low.
They're very low. You're right about that.
Expectations. And that's good for everybody involved.
Great.
That is great. That's what we tell everybody to do. That's what we tell ourselves to do. Then we get excited. Anyway, I was also, speaking of trying to lower expectations but getting excited, Joakim Noah said Evan Mobley is Kevin Garnett-like.
Mm.
appreciated that. I appreciated somebody bigging up Evan Mobley because not enough people have been doing that this season.
Maybe he'll win Rising Stars MVP. Maybe he'll go for it.
Kevin Garnett. No. Respect.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Pick'em results last night. Thunder Lakers game. LA. They were the favorites by 7.5 points.
Check the drums.
Man, they couldn't even cover. Straight up loss. That is a W for myself. A rare one. Tass, you got it. Trey takes an L. You guys were 3-2. I'm 2-3 in February. What's tonight's game?
We got a big one between the Sixers and the Celtics. How about that? ESPN.
What is this, rivalry week?
Yeah, minus 4.5. They didn't play in rivalry week, but they're ready to go now. Embiid versus the Celtics. I mean, they want to be the number one team, so I think the Celtics will come out, even though they've been a bit of a roller coaster. They got to win by 5 or more to cover. You guys think the Sixers will cover, getting those 4 points. That 4 point spread. Good
yeah,
for you
that's,
guys.
I do think that spread's coming into play here.
It's a little chunky.
Pull me down for a close game. Tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. Tweet. Sixers are just a good team, and 4.5 just seems a little too big for teams that will be rested enough.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But Celtics up 2 games right now on Philly. If Philadelphia pulls off the victory here, you get that down to 2. That would gain a half a game there for the Bucks as well. So it's tight there at the top. Listen to this track coming through here for Pick'em.
I like it. It's like an audition every time we get to the Pick'em payoff.
Yeah, it's a bit busy for me.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, people were fans of the hockey night in Canada yesterday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Did we get dinged?
No, we didn't get dinged. Sir.
Well, count those dings.
Don Cherry doesn't care.
0. Don Cherry. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Sometimes you don't need to overthink it when it comes to Tweet of the Night. At NBA on TNT with the video last night before that big Thunder Lakers game, SGA pulled up in the big red boots. And they are big. And they are red. It's tough when he gets onto that yellow flooring there with the lighting, but these are just some
disappear.
Big red boots. They are quite the look. He's got the big old jeans there, too. The opposite of LeBron James, isn't he? LeBron's pants too tight. SGA's arguably too big. But, our Slack was popping off. Jerome, TK, both saying how you guys wanted to get these Astro boots. Yeah?
I don't want them, Skeets. I need these.
Oh, yeah?
You know, people are always willing to hate on my tiny feet.
I am ready to
Not with these. Not wow. with these. Throw these on. People will be talking about the big foot boy walking down... the street.
I want to know what's the lining like in these?
What's the lining like?
Like, is it just that rubber on the outside?
It could be a sweaty answer.
Oh, your foot would be so sweaty.
I think the answer is it doesn't matter.
That's right, yeah.
Well,
yeah. I guess.
It's perfect for Salt Lake City, is what I'm thinking.
But see, but that's you think that's a good winter boot? I think you'd be sliding everywhere in those.
I'll release the full like wear test through Toronto
All right.
next snowstorm. All right. That's what's gonna happen.
And now, what do those go for? 350. I saw.
350 is the word. Yeah.
All right. What do you think, man?
It feels like it would be hard to put on. To be honest, I don't know how stretchy those would be. I think you got to sit down, full sit down, and try and yank those things on. Because there's no laces, obviously.
Yeah, I want to know where. How is that staying on your foot? Is it the suction cup of the ankle part, or is there a liner in that boot, in that shoe? My foot like moving around in there like crazy if it wants?
The collar's keeping your foot in there. Foot's not going to fall out. I mean, those things are what?
No.
Like calf height.
But Shea's walking like they're clogs, it feels like.
Yeah.
Like they're. He's kind of sliding his feet.
Could he pick up his foot and kick it like that, or would the boot go flying? That's what I want to know.
Oh, that's staying on.
You think it's
staying on in a kick scenario? Right. Yeah.
He's got skinny ankles. He's got skinny legs.
It looks hot. Either way, it's going to be hot. That's what I hate. Whoa. As we see these boots.
Yeah, these are the big streetwear boots right
Holy
now.
Holy man. They come see, like next that. Week.
Yeah, I mean, we're
how's dead. That staying on her on
you're
her
wearing
leg.
That to the Met Gala is what you're doing.
Wow,
clearly.
Right.
Think about how a foot's angled. It's all about the angles.
This photo is all about the angles because they look huge in the foreground. Yeah.
I just don't think it's as tight as you think it is on her, especially. Like, if that woman stood up and kicked her foot forward, that boot is gonna fly off her. Like, unless there's a lining I don't know inside there.
Nah.
Wow. But it's high enough that it's going to hold,
it's
too.
Tall enough. No?
It's going to hold.
Your foot is not pointed straight down.
Look how skinny her leg is to the opening of the boot.
You wear a pair of Uggs, you kick them off, they don't come off.
I'm definitely with you, Skis, though. I think if you kick, they're out of there.
Yeah, I think so. But we got to get some.
I would like
put it to the test.
I would like to take the temperature of her feet and see how hot they are.
Yeah.
Steamy.
After a night at the Met Gala? Dancing the night away in those things?
It's more it's just two-stepping like side to side. You're not really dancing in those, no.
I mean, this is a joke, right? It is a joke.
What do you mean? This is fashion!
I don't mean to be the old man here, but come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't think they're cool looking?
No, I don't. I think they look like toys.
They are like toy boots.
Yeah. They're incredible.
Boots.
Incredible. We're on a hell of a run right now. The tunnel fits that we're seeing. Kuzma with the crazy inflatable jacket.
Big.
These
jacket.
Big red boots. Jerome, I feel like we have a YouTube short in us.
I think we could get there.
Bruce Brown keeps showing up as a straight cowboy, Yellowstone
cowboy
style.
Bruce.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here in my bunker, so whatever. All right. We need to do.
All right. We'll start pulling the photos together. Okay, let's hear your thoughts on the big red boots. Would you rock those? I would love for you guys to be rocking, walking around in Salt Lake City in those. I think you'd be sliding everywhere. Though there was some tread on, I guess, on the bottom.
I'm thinking of rain boots, man. Like a rain boot.
Yeah.
That's just a piece of rubber with a foot on it, and they don't fly off. They have grips. It's all about those grips.
Yeah, you used to have your annual duckies that you used to wear, right?
duck boots.
Of course.
Duck boots.
Yeah, your feet get sweaty in those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's call it there. What a weird show. We were all over the map in this one. A lot of random things to talk about. Congrats to LeBron James, the NBA's all-time leading scorer. Wow. Every night he plays, though, we have to talk about it now.
Stop the game every basket.
Yeah.
LeBron handing the ball to himself. Thanks, man. Thanks.
get your tickets to our No Dunks live show in Salt Lake City. You got to come out live now to see if at least somebody's wearing these big red boots. We're going to have to expense them on the company credit card. Oh, man. Okay.
I hear what you're saying.
There's a walk test right there for you.
Yeah. Well, I hear what you're saying. A little bit more here, Skeets. There's a
big gap between her leg and the front of that boot. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, we got to try them. I just got to test them.
She's wearing 18 pairs of socks.
Wow, her foot's going to be really hot.
She's got hobbit feet.
She's really walking there, though. Really walking.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's a real boot, man.
Yeah.
It's a real boot.
It's just so cartoony looking. It's amazing.
Cool.
It's surprising that they're like something that the general public can buy, and they're not just showing up on a fashion runway.
Absolutely. $350. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. You could get those.
A little too much for a bit. But just barely.
Yeah.
Just
but I'm barely. With you. When I saw them, I'm like, oh, those are like $10,000 or $5,000 or something. Yeah.
The same company that made this boot also made the Jesus shoe which are sneakers with holy water in the sole.
Okay.
How much do those cost?
I don't see a price
Hopefully
here.
Hopefully more.
Let's pull this up.
Two fish and five loaves.
Yeah, join us live. We'll see you guys tomorrow, live here from the Classic Factory at 10 a.m. Eastern, unless we get a big old trade and we can jump on here and do an emergency podcast. Or the boots show up and we'll do a video. Yes, exactly, an unboxing.
The box is huge.
I did see the box.
It's gigantic.
Yeah.
You think Adam Silver told the NBA, no trades last night? I ain't doing it. I ain't hopping on a call to hear your transactions. We got something bigger going on.
I was appreciative of LeBron getting it done last night.
Yep.
Because we're having a long day, in theory, on Thursday. Hopefully, a lot of trades are flying. We're pumping out the content. And then I was thinking, man, the day wraps up, then we gotta go home, then you gotta lock in again for the record-breaking night. So, sort of happy you got it done.
Yeah, thanks, LeBron.
Thank you, LeBron.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. We're
gonna
send you some big red boots.
LeBron.
All right, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, to the No Dunks faithful, fuck, man. Thank you, guys.
Race the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.